Weekends on the Fanatic. T. Lynam and Joe Torty. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Good morning and happy Saturday to you alongside D Line. I'm Joe Torty here with you. It feels like it's been about a month since we've been teamed up together talking to you guys. Most of that's my fault. D, good morning. How are you? And I heard that everything went great while I was gone. You had to fight to get me back in the seat. So I appreciate all of your efforts there. It means a lot.
Oh, we had fun. We had some fun shows, but you were having your own fun and Disney.
With three ankle biters running around and socially distanced characters and me trying to contrive reasons why there was a bush between you and Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a good time. But however, as I don't know if you've experienced this, the food and wine festival at Epcot, where you're kind of like eating and drinking around the world, is like the way that adults get through Disney. It's like, all right, I got two more hours at the Magic Kingdom. And then there's like a nice German beer or like a mimosa flight or something like that waiting for me on the other side.
I do like Epcot. I think the last couple of times, even when my kids were small, Magic Kingdom wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
It's a little tight anymore.
Agreed. Yeah.
When I was little, it seemed big.
Right.
Now it seems so tight.
Yeah.
But Epcot has some cool things.
Really cool.
Even for kids.
Absolutely.
Do they still have, is it called the Sorcerer?
No, yeah.
What's that? The thing where you feel like you're flying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like they have the...
Like a golf ball comes right at you and people...
Oh, yeah, like the 3D thing?
Yeah.
They've got that thing. I've got to think about it now, too, because I don't think that we went on it.
Yeah, because your kids are small.
They're a little smaller for that. Yeah, exactly. But as usual, a lot has happened since we last convened, right? We finally heard Jalen Hurts named the starter, obviously, because, you know, they just treated him like the starter the whole time without saying it. We have some data on the NFC East with the Cowboys having their game in the books against the Buccaneers. Some things have come out after that, and some Sixers stuff has also emerged as well. But I do want to start with the Eagles and where you sit. Expectations, it's a little bit early to talk about that, but like when you're looking at the team going into week one, how do you feel about the way the training camp went the first year with Nick Sirianni, first year with Jalen Hurts? It seems as though while the Eagles aren't primed for a big season, everyone's kind of calm and relaxed, and it seems like things are under control. At least that's my read. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, for me, the biggest thing is that you are relatively healthy coming out of your camp and preseason. Rodney McLeod being the only starter unable to go in week one.
Right.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And for a young coach and a young quarterback to have your healthy starters is a big deal. I would say that there is, now how long it lasts, I don't know, but there's strong enthusiasm surrounding their head coach. Hallie runs the show, kind of a real let's get after it. I'm not going to call him a rah-rah guy because I think Sirianni seemed to do it what you saw in clips in the right way. The guy's just he really seems to love his football and wants his team to just do things right.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah. So now whether that translates, I think the number was 6.5 for the wins on the season.
In a 17-game season now.
Which is that's the key part.
Right, exactly.
Because you forget about the extra game. So 6.5 seemed low, and I've listened to a lot of local and national, and like a no-brainer to take the over. But I think the key part, I do think they will win tomorrow. I do. But I think they hit that is a tough schedule. And how do young people like Sirianni and a Jalen Hurts, let's just say you're 1-4, where are you at that point? You know, is your enthusiasm, your commitment to just, you know, do it the right way? We're going to get through it. Can you hang on to that if you're not having success you know, couple weeks in a row.
And I've got to say, it seems as though, and the Eagles do have some veterans of the Super Bowl team, and they do have some people who've been around for a long time, but it seems as though things are properly calibrated for the Eagles, it seems like. Like, for example, I think that a lot of fans that I've talked to are able to take a bird's eye view and look at where the Eagles actually are and what is realistic for them to be accomplishing with a first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, and things like that, versus in years past. Like, I think that it's fair to say now we're in a safe place here, right? It seems like it's fair to say now that that was kind of a fluky run for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, but the expectations were sky high afterwards because you've got all the same pieces. So when the Eagles weren't getting back to...
So you think expectations are low?
Yeah, I think so. Realistic, I'll put it that way, right? Because, if I'm a Cowboys fan, right?
Well, first of all, if it's 6.5, the world's telling you should have low expectations.
Right, exactly.
And they get paid to make those numbers, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. They usually don't miss them by a whole lot. I saw some Eagles fans saying, man, you know, Dallas played really well against Tampa, and, you know, that's one of the better teams. And my reaction to that was like, okay, but, you know, you're coming off of, you know, you have an all-pro quarterback. Dak Prescott, I believe, made an all-pro team, right? You've got loaded offensive weapons. You've got all kinds of things like that, a remade defense, and they still lost. You know what I mean? They're still 0-1 in a 17-game season. So if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm still kind of freaking out right now already just because you lost a game and you put together a pretty decent game and you still lost. There's only so many of those games that you can do. So, like, for me, I just think that Eagles fans and Cowboys fans are in different spots where we're positioned to look at and say, all right, well, what's it look like with Sirianni? What's it look like with Hurts? Are the young receivers coming along? Like, are you building a foundation for something in the future? Whereas Dallas has thought that they've been right there for a long time. You know what I mean? I think there's something there.
I mean, I will say this. I did think Dallas looked pretty good.
I thought so, too.
I mean, obviously, what Brady did is what Brady does, to march down and win the game, put them in position for the field goal. I didn't find that shocking either.
No.
So I think Dallas looked like the Dallas before Prescott got hurt a year ago. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I thought that he looked super healthy and everything looked totally fine with him. And then, you know, we haven't seen the Giants, who I think have a chance to be just as bad as the Eagles.
Yep.
I think they have a really good chance there. And
the numbers, every week I've been looking like, you know, ooh, has anything changed? But when you're not playing, it's not going to change.
Right.
Of like where you're going to fall. So obviously the Giants actually are predicted to be better than the Eagles, but it's only ever so slight.
Right. It's always right there. And I don't think that anything that Washington does is going to be as flashy as what Dallas does. But I think those results are probably the same, or Washington better.
I think they'll be battling to be the winner of the division.
Agreed. I think that that's kind of where we are with that.
And I think if you're Dallas, I don't think anybody had them winning against Tampa. So for them, that goes as an L that was predicted to be anyhow.
Right,
in
exactly.
In my book, the part that's a bummer for them is that...
They balled out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they played really well.
Which is probably why AI expressed such empathy for his team after the fact.
Yeah, it's good to see that AI feels that way.
I don't know why anybody was so surprised that he did that. The two things you know, he was always been a Dallas Cowboys fan and a New York Yankees fan.
Right, exactly.
He wore their hats and stuff all the time.
Well, I thought I remembered you saying something when people were getting on LeBron James for being a fan of this team or that team. And I thought you said something like, do you remember who Allen Iverson like was always wearing
always.
Stuff for?
I mean, the one thing I will say, I'm thinking, oh, man, he is getting old. Because when he says he's been a fan of them for 41 years.
Whoa!
AI's getting up there.
He is getting up there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's where we sit. Now, with Atlanta,
yeah,
I think that team's going to stink. I don't know what you think about Atlanta, like long term, but that I think that you have the potential for, like, this is the game that no one's going to watch. Like, this is the game that's only in the Atlanta and Philadelphia markets.
Oh, absolutely.
At this point, when in a game like that with so many unknowns, at least for me, like, for example, I think Atlanta's best offensive weapon is likely to be a rookie tight end. I think that Philadelphia's best hope is likely a first-year starting quarterback. You've got two rookie head coaches.
Yep.
How in the world can you have a feeling
well,
or a read
why,
about this
that's
game?
That's why it's a Atlanta minus three, because
so like,
it's
I don't
a toss-up.
I don't know.
You got to just give a couple points to the home team.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of where we are. Do you think, Dee, that we'll learn much about the Eagles after that game is over? Do you think that there are lessons to be learned in terms of how they run their operations and stuff?
I do. I mean, I'll be curious, number one, of what kind of offense is Sirianni running, right? What are we going to see? We haven't seen anything.
Right.
We have no idea. And we haven't seen Jalen Hurts except for I think they said it was 10 plays in that first game.
Right, yeah.
In that preseason game. 10. First of all, that's a long time to
not play.
Be playing.
Yeah.
And you can practice all you want. That's not the same as game speed. That will be... Are you seeing a team that's going to pay a little bit of a price for not having played guys that needed to be playing?
Right, yeah. I will say this, though. And I think this is kind of like an under-the-radar element to it. I was pleasantly surprised to see everyone, the Eagles and Zach Ertz, kind of make nice on the whole Zach Ertz ugliness and the way, you know, him wanting to be out and wanting a new deal, and the Eagles not giving him a new deal. Now, is he going to be traded? Is he not? Like, the statements that are coming out from both camps now, especially on Ertz's side, seem to be pretty earnest. Like, hey, you know, it wasn't the ideal situation before. I'm here now. I want to be here. I want to retire here, that sort of thing. Like, it seems like things have been patched up reasonably well.
Right.
Ahead of the season.
And I will say, somebody thought that will help him perform better than last year, having that patched up. But in fairness, the argument was made, well, maybe part of why he didn't have a great year last year was also because he was actually physically hurt.
Right.
So it's not all about the contract part of it. If he is actually healthy, he could be a key veteran on this squad.
I mean,
and that's another one. I mean, like, how often are you seeing two tight end sets out of Sirianni? I don't know.
Right, exactly. Well, and the thing, too, is that, you know, you track the Colts, and not just Sirianni, but the Colts through the years. And when they've had chuckers, they've chucked. Like, Andrew Luck threw the ball a million times. Mm-hmm. Philip Rivers threw the ball a million times. Anybody other than those guys, it's been like a very balanced, you know, ground-based, I would say, attack, too. I don't know how they view their own personnel. You know what I mean? Like, do they view Jalen Hurts as a running quarterback, as a play-action quarterback? What do they see for him? And how do they get their younger weapons involved if it is going to be a ground-based attack like that? I think it's fascinating. I think it's going to be fun to watch, especially against a team like Atlanta that's not great shakes, because I think you could just take some chances and see what happens.
And how balanced does Sirianni want his group to be? I mean, when Doug would never run the ball, remember?
Yes.
We came hard at that guy.
Yeah.
Will that be the case here? Or... because you do have young receivers, right? You want to see Smith. You want to see Rager. You want to see them, like, being targeted.
Yeah.
Well, we have a different feel about looking at the balance between the run and the pass.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop in. And as it relates to Jalen Hurts, too, D, if I were Nick Sirianni, now he knows his player better than I would be tempted to make Jalen Hurts pass the ball a lot. Only because from a player development perspective, I already know that he can run. Like, I watch him and I see Kyler Murray and these instinctive run. You've already got that part down. If I can turn you into a passer as well, that's how you jump into, like, the next echelon. I'm not saying that he is Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes.
But you got to force yourself to go where you have not developed yet in the minds of most.
Exactly. Sure. In the minds of most, right. And I don't know if that's, you measure that with completion percentage or if it's just yards and touch. Like, I don't know what the metrics are for success in the Philadelphia Eagles offense yet at this point.
Not getting picked off and not getting sacked.
Right. You'd think that those would be good places to start,
yeah,
for sure.
And you can work on the accuracy later as long as you're not leaving it for them to... How good is Atlanta's secondary? Any good?
I don't think so. I think that they're pretty raw. They've lost some players, too, from a group that already wasn't all that good. So, you know, who knows? Maybe a new-look team is all that they needed. But, let's see who they have. I know that they don't have Keanu Neal anymore. I know they don't have Desmond Trufant anymore.
One of their coordinators from New England? One of the Falcons coordinators?
Sounds right.
I feel like I heard somebody talking about, like, beware. It has to be the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Because, you know, you listen to too many conversations.
Right, exactly.
Well, and then it's 6 in the morning.
Of course. Arthur Smith is the head coach.
Yeah. I don't know why. I want to say the defensive coordinator is a Belichick-related guy somehow.
I'll double check that.
I'll find it because I know it was in an article.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Want to continue to talk about the Eagles, but also wanted to address something that we've been talking about for a long time, and that has been the Sixers and Ben Simmons. Will they or won't they in terms of the trade?
That's long over, Joe. Where were you?
Yeah, I know. It's so sad.
They have to.
Especially now. I don't know if you addressed the Ben Simmons statement that it's not on him, or not a statement, but reportedly told the team that it's not on him to rehab his trade value. That's not his deal or his problem.
So here's the irony of this. I get a call the other day from Keith Pompey, who was on some national shows this week. And Keith was on with us on Monday. And he said, T, they're using your stuff to do this whole thing about the value of Ben.
See?
He said it came out of our conversation, and now everybody's giving it to these other people. So I went back and listened, and we did. We had a whole thing about his value. Whether or not, how it got to the point of it's not his job to increase his value is true, but I can tell you this. If I'm Josh Harris or Blitzer and I want his value to go back up, I do pay you handsomely.
Right.
So you will be in camp and I will try to facilitate a deal as soon as I can. But until I do, you will be working.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Are you collecting the paycheck or not? Yeah.
And he may not. I mean, there was another. I don't know. He had some strange Instagrams, by the way,
About Simmons?
Yeah. But somebody said he is prepared to not have money, which I thought was, it's not exactly like that. You do have money, but it's basically saying he's prepared to not be getting paid. Now, the caveat there, and I don't think he'll show up to camp. I really don't. I don't think he has the personality to, after all these, I do think they are shenanigans, some of this stuff in this off season. I don't think he can walk into that locker room with his teammates. I don't. And so I don't think he shows up to camp. He is supposedly, the way they structure his contract, there are others who have done it like this. Why any team would do it, I have no idea. Supposedly he gets half of his pay on October 1st.
Right, so he has the 16. Year. And that I was reading the same article, so that like if he holds out, he's prepared to just live on his $16 million that he has this year.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, he's not getting it. The team won't. You can start to go to court. You do whatever,
right?
But they'll be holding that paycheck.
Yeah,
they are not giving him that $16 million October 1st,
unless he shows up to do the work.
Well, if he shows up,
right?
But the 28th is the day. So or maybe you come late, maybe you come October 1st to try to get your paycheck, in which case I have to know in good faith that you are going to perform. Now, there is a possibility of this situation. He will then all of a sudden has a back that hurts.
Sure, yeah, because he's been training so hard, you know, all those videos and stuff. Things happen all the time.
What I don't get the point of those videos.
It's just to create hype. It always has been. It's always just to be like, look at how hard this guy's working. Look at who this guy's running with. Look at what the blah, blah, blah.
With anybody. It's the YMCA.
It's never translated to anything. Really has not. You've been around enough locker rooms and enough situations. I want to ask you about this. When things get this ugly, if you are the Sixers, how frank do those conversations become? If Ben Simmons says, hey, it's not on me to drive up your trade value, to have the people on the other side of the table being like, well, you know what, Ben, you want to leave. We don't terribly want you back, and nobody wants you right now. So what do you want us to do? Like, how frank do those conversations become?
Well, first of all, I mean, he did have the meeting where he was in the room in Los Angeles with your brass. From this point on, most of your conversations are taking place with his agent. They're not with him. And yeah, it gets pretty heated. I mean, I remember the night that they sent Iverson home. Well, said he would never stay at home. Don't come back.
Played your last, like,
and that was Mr. Snyder was livid. And I think it took about 3 weeks after that, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But that's when you are told, do not come around us. Now, I don't know when the Sixers will take that stance or if they do. You know, I use Harden. He did come late. He did end up coming to training camp because he felt like Houston, he thought he had them having a deal, and they decided they wanted more, and it wasn't done. So he did come to camp, and then he insulted his teammates, and then that was how it was over. He couldn't go back into that locker room.
Right.
So then they forced that hand. And that's when I say Ben doesn't have the personality to, because you have to go in there. You have to face the people that, you know, you didn't take that dunk. And the game was on the line with 3.5 minutes to play. You got to go in there, and you shot 34% from the foul line. You got to go in there and remember with them that you did not take one single field goal attempt in the final four fourth quarters of a series in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Not one. Can you face that music?
And from what we've seen, it's the battle between somebody who's cool and like not overly emotional to the outside. I think that's true of Ben Simmons, but also somebody who takes slights personally.
Very personally. Right. I mean, I'm an all-star. That was 3 years, 2 years ago? Three. Probably three, because we weren't, that was a, you know, training camp, and we didn't do training camp last year. I guess it could have been 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bubble year. He got defensive, obviously, after game seven. You know, what about your game? Doesn't translate in the postseason.
Right.
He didn't like that.
That
one
line
iota
of questioning, he was not interested.
Not interested. He deflects. I had somebody on Twitter ask me, you know, is he too soft for Philadelphia? And I said, honestly, whatever city he goes to, you know, there's probably going to be a period of time where they embrace him because there's a uniqueness to his game. And in the regular season, he does some pretty cool things.
Yeah.
But you will continue to wear out your welcome over time in any city if you are a competitive team, because you will continue to cost them to be competitive because of your unwillingness to be part of a critical part of the game you play.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a similar arc to what happened here. Like, people, is he
right?
You know,
I'm saying it doesn't matter. It's not too soft for Philly. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's just not going to fly anywhere.
It's going to take time. Like, they'll fall in love with you for the beginning. Sure. Why not?
Right.
But he'll do the same. His personality's not changing.
I don't know if this matters to you or not, but Ben Simmons, the NBA 2K ratings are out. And Ben Simmons is
Matty Cord, by the way, voice of.
So cool. Super cool. I saw when that was going on. I was pumped about that. But Simmons tied with John Collins, Brandon Ingram, LaMelo Ball, Michael Porter Jr., and Kristaps Porzingis in terms of his rating of 84. So those are his peers, according to NBA 2K, in terms of his current skill.
Even funner would be, could you get a deal straight up for any of them?
Any of those. LaMelo Ball, certainly not. Brandon Ingram, that ship has long sailed.
Because I would have done that in a heartbeat.
Yep. If you're talking
about Porzingis, you might be able to because he's always hurt.
Michael Porter Jr.?
Not right now.
I don't think right now. John Collins?
No way.
I don't.
No way.
It's just Porzingis.
Porzingis.
Oh my gosh. 610-632-0975.
That's a full circle too.
Yeah.
They didn't draft him because, you know, that was Hinkie ignored that one.
And then it was the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
And now here we are. Also, I don't know if you heard the thoughts from Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley on Ben Simmons's trade scenario.
Oh yeah.
We'll get to that next because that's some juicy stuff. It's D Lineham and Joe Torty. We roll on until 8 a.m. right here on the Fanatic.
Weekends on the Fanatic. D Lineham and Joe Torty. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torty, 97.5 The Fanatic. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Hard Rock Hotel Atlantic City. Tickets for GNR September 12th are on sale now. That's tomorrow. This is the closest you'll get to seeing them in a club-sized venue. For tickets and info, go to rockhotelatlanticcity.com. It is Dean Joe. We talked about the Eagles opener against Atlanta tomorrow, but I also wanted to get this out because I don't know if everyone heard this. I'm sure a lot of people read it, but I always feel like when you hear things, it hits a little bit differently. Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley were discussing Ben Simmons and his trade value, the whole situation with Simmons and the Sixers. Let's just get right into it, and then we'll hack it out here.
It looks like that the Ben Simmons Philadelphia 76ers experiment is going to end ugly.
Well, I'm disappointed in Ben Simmons. When you give somebody $200 million to dribble a stupid basketball, and the only thing you ask them is be better as a player, and their first response is, I don't want to play here anymore. That disappoints me as a player. It disappoints me as a fan. Then I said, hey, come over here and cut my grass. They're saying, Ben, we need you to learn how to shoot the basketball.
I have G14 classification to say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And so does Charles Barkley. Ben Simmons, you're not that good. And then in this league, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? You're not great. But if you want to get to that next level, you have to be great. And to be great, you have to work on your game. Don't be putting pictures on your Instagram or your Ferrari or what actress you're hanging around with. When you play for a town like Philadelphia, Boston, L.A., Miami, hard-working town, they don't give a shit about none of that. They want you [S2] Right. [S1] To come, work hard, and play hard. I was at that game six when that man didn't even look at the basket. And I know as a player, first thing I do is I look in the player's eyes. That man was out there terrified. Not terrified of playing, but terrified of being fouled and missing free throws. Forget all that.
All right, D. So the criticism of Ben Simmons's game has been fairly consistent, talking about his free throw shooting, talking about his outside shooting, things like that. This is the closest and I would say most direct. I would say that it's starting to get about Ben Simmons's character now, both about not showing up and going to work, his priorities and what's important to him, things like that. When you hear that, what does that mean? When it's coming from guys like Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Well, I'm not sure Ben cares who it comes from. And at this point, I don't think you can say you don't hear or read any of it and haven't heard about it.
Impossible.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, that's so the two of them were together on this. But prior, Shaq had actually been on another podcast where he was truly saying, I don't know what this guy does in his workouts. And Charles had recently done his annual sit-in with Mikey Miss and had said very similar things about, you know, this organization paid you handsomely. Earn your paycheck. So the two of them, first of all, are consistent with what they're saying. They're
yes.
not, and I think that that's something that you have to look at. They're not just throwing something out there one time. And I think you could probably even go to their studio show during the postseason. And he said he was at game six and saw it in his eyes. I remember them sitting. Charles has been critical of this group. And I think part of it is because he wants them to win so bad.
Right.
Because, you know, he's a part of Philly. So I think that I can't believe the 180 it has done. He still has fans, Ben Simmons does.
Sure.
But there's a whole lot more that have tired on the act. And that's what it is. It's an act.
And the thing that is it probably resonates with guys like Shaq and Charles. And this is the level of expertise and experience that they have because they've lived the superstar life. Both of them were superstars. If and maybe this is just something that normal humans like me can't grasp. If you're in the NBA and you want a Ferrari, you can probably just get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's any NBA player who has a contract like Ben Simmons, like, it's not a big deal to anyone except me who can't afford a Ferrari. Do you know what I mean? Like, so to post something like that.
By the way, was I supposed to know it was a Ferrari?
I
zeroed in to make sure. Like, I mean, clearly these guys know it is.
Yes.
And again, there's no problem that you can afford and it's a nice toy. And
enjoy your money however you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said. His prerogative.
Yes, absolutely right.
I got no problem with that part of it. But it just seems like there's a hidden message from him to fans, to people. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there's a message behind his posts.
Yeah, for sure.
And the ones this week, as I say, a non-basketball workout, which is fine.
Right.
But it was a non-basketball workout.
Have you detected that there are some, too, who... in the past, the Ben Simmons, quote unquote, lifestyle endeared him to them. Like there were some that were hanging on to Ben because it was cool to have somebody who was like dating models and into cars and stuff. Like, I think that there were some in like the pop culture sphere who were more defensive of Ben Simmons than
maybe
hardcore hoops.
I'm just going to say, and I've. You know, I just, because I saw it, AI had real people who loved the way he lived off the court as
yes.
much. They loved his commitment to staying real.
Yes,
true
absolutely.
True to himself. They loved the music that he liked. How he would spend his money was on jewelry. Actually, he had some nice cars. He didn't have a Ferrari, but he had nice cars.
Sure, yeah.
He usually had somebody driving him in it.
Right, spent the extra money to get the person driving.
It was usually one of his guys.
The tweet that got me 2 days ago, and the reason that I even bring this up, is that I would say the pop culture sphere has even turned on Ben Simmons, because the tweet that got me 2 days ago, Molly Morrison tweeted, "At this point, the Sixers front office really needs to consider hiring Kendall Jenner. My girl had no problem trading Ben Simmons for a superstar." I said, whoa!
That's a good one. I didn't see that one.
It cuts.
Yeah.
It cuts to the core.
Wow.
But that's where we are. That is where we are now.
I mean, I'm looking forward to... I never like to push time too quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it seems it goes too fast anyhow.
Yes.
So, but the 28th will be entertaining.
Yeah.
And all I'm going to say is, on the 28th, I hope Doc Rivers has a good night's sleep the night before. Because the questions... And that's another thing. And I appreciated what Charles said on Mike's show when he was here. The fact that Ben Simmons' camp felt that Doc did him wrong by saying, when he was asked the question, is Ben Simmons
a point guard on a championship team? Such a specific question.
So, first of all, he hasn't won a championship, meaning Ben.
Right.
So he has not been a point guard on a championship team, period.
Right.
The answer is no. But instead, he just said, I can't answer that. And he can't answer it because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And so he didn't, I can't predict that he will be on a championship team. I can't predict that he will stay being point guard. Maybe we think differently moving forward and play him at another position.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at that answer. To take that answer and be insulted, yeah, then I should tell the guy on Twitter, you're right, he's too soft.
Right. Well, yeah.
But it's not just for Philly. Too soft if you can't handle somebody being honest. That's not having your back. That's an honest answer to a very specific question.
Well, and here's the problem that, like, I don't think Ben Simmons is a dumb guy. So, like, he could easily say, all right, well, do you think that Joel Embiid's a center on a championship team? He hasn't done it either. And then you look across the table at him like, Ben, do you really want to have this conversation? Like you know where this is headed, don't you? Like,
oh, I'll tell you this. Separate the two. Put them on two different teams,
let's
and
see
I'll
what
put
happens.
I'll put my money on Embiid getting a championship before you.
Right, that's exactly it. Like,
unless you go to LeBron, AD, and you happen to be the third wheel.
Right, exactly.
Maybe
that spot seems like it's already taken. Like it seems like,
well,
there's the Russell Westbrook.
He's the third
Westbrook
wheel
train.
Here, and he can't get it done. So he's,
sheesh.
And that's the other thing. No matter where you go, and if it's a competitive team, the way postseason play happens, teams are better. They're more sophisticated in terms of the coaching. Defenses are going to take advantage, not just of your weaknesses, anybody's weaknesses.
Right.
And if you are not working to get rid of your weakness, then you are playing into the hand of the opposition.
Yeah.
And in any postseason, the further along you get, you will be exposed if he continues to be the player that he is to this point.
610-632-0975. I did think that that was fascinating. That, like you said, I'm way behind. You know, this ship has already sailed about Ben. But there continue to be new layers just tacked on.
Joe, I actually have to do a weekly recap report.
Uh-huh.
On Ben.
Right.
That's to keep people up to speed on it. Because there's something every week.
It really?
And it will be this way until he's moved.
So maybe it's just because it didn't happen here. I don't remember it being exactly like this with Harden. Like, I feel like with Harden, it came out that he, like, after Westbrook was out, he's like, all right, I'm out. And then there was radio silence until there was, like, actual trade discussions and chatter and things like that.
Well, it wasn't just the Westbrook part of it. He felt when Daryl Morey stepped down that it was going from a team that he always believed they were trying to be contenders.
Swinging every year. Yeah.
To okay, now this is not going to be good. This is going to be a rebuild. And I don't want to be part of a rebuild. It's funny. I had somebody come up to me yesterday and say, is Ben the first person who is forcing his way out for his individual failure? Not because the team. So like in Harden's case, it's a team that now wants to go and rebuild.
Right.
It's similar. Billy Donovan as a coach separates ways with OKC because they wanted to be in a rebuild and he wanted to do it quicker. Now, whether he does it quicker in Chicago, I have no idea.
Right.
But it was a decision of because people are in a rebuild.
Right.
Ben is on a team that is striving to win a championship, had a guy who came in second in MVP voting, arguably, without those 14 games that he missed consecutively.
Takes it down.
Takes it down. And, you know, here you are. You want out because of your own personal failures.
Right.
Not that you see it as a failure. You see the rest of it not pushing me up, not supporting me enough. So now let me get out of here.
I'm just saying, I want to know what the Goldilocks situation for Ben Simmons looks like. And you know what? Maybe it is being Draymond Green on the Golden State Warriors. Like, maybe that's what it is. But when you've got a guy like Tobias Harris who gets no headlines and does all kinds of stuff to take pressure off of a lot of other people, and you've got an MVP candidate there, and you get to be the guy with the ball in your hands as the third option, I don't know how much better it gets.
I'm not sure that any of that matters. I don't think that he would care if he's on a bad Cleveland Cavaliers team. I don't think he'll like living in Cleveland.
Right.
I think he wouldn't care being on a Minnesota team. He won't like living in Minnesota, but I'm not sure that any of that matters.
Well, he's not going to have a great time once he gets traded to the Kings living in Fresno and driving 2.5 hours to Sacramento because he doesn't want to be that far from Los Angeles. It's not going to be a fun experience there for anybody.
So what I started doing is following beat writers of the other teams.
Yeah.
So that you get the Kings are, they won't put two of the guys that the Sixers want to talk about in the talks.
Any conversations.
And here's the deal. That's why this is going to drag on. I say it's going to be into the season, because you need a team to get unhappy with their own personal situation. They are either failing to meet expectations. They thought a guy was going to be something that he ends up not being early on. The chemistry is wrong somehow, some way. Something like that has to happen, because right now, as we say, pennies on the dollar, because everybody knows you got to move them.
And not only that, Sixers aren't dealing from a position of strength, but also it's like, do you want to pre-board a sinking ship? You know, you're signing up for this.
And you got to pay him $30 million.
Exactly.
Well,
right.
Actually, it's a total of 147. So it's a huge investment.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. 610-632-0975. By the way, 1 week from today, we haven't talked about this yet, D.
Is it next weekend?
It is. Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. It's FanFest 2021, a free event, but you will need a ticket to attend. I know that there have been a lot of tickets dished out already, but if you're one of the holdouts, make sure that you're listening all week for your opportunity to get in. Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, the official hotel partner and after party of 97.5 The Fanatics FanFest 2021. A couple things that you need to be aware of. Tyrese Maxey was just added to the lineup. Not the Sixers lineup, the FanFest lineup. Brought to you by CSL Plasma. Visit a CSL Plasma location this week to enter for a chance to win a private meet and greet with Tyrese Maxey at FanFest. For CSL Plasma locations and to learn how you can earn up to $825 this month when you donate plasma, visit CSLPlasma.com. First of all, that's a pretty sweet deal. You don't need to hear the rest of this. Tyrese Maxey should be enough to get you into FanFest. However, Brian Dawkins is also there, courtesy of our FanFest presenting sponsor, FanDuel Sportsbook. Charlie Manuel, courtesy of our friends at Landis Block. It's just a who's who of Philadelphia sports excellence that's going to be there.
Brian Dawkins, I believe, just released a book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saw he's going to be featured talking about his book on the Eagles pregame.
Okay.
Show with Barkan and Company.
I should know this. What's the subject matter of the book? Any idea what angles he's covering here, or is that what we're going to learn?
I think it's kind of his story.
Uh-huh.
He's a pretty... There's a lot of charisma to him,
absolutely.
I would be encouraged to read it, to be honest.
If he writes how he talks,
yep,
then absolutely right. Would be fascinated to check that out, and obviously his story is so fascinating. I want to skip to the chapter where he's, you know, being told that he's going to move on and that they're not going to bring him back. I want to skip to that chapter and see how that played out from Brian's perspective. Man, so much to get to. 610-632-0975. We'll continue to take a look at the Eagles' first week matchup against the Atlanta Falcons coming up tomorrow. It's D. Lineham and Joe Torti. Go ahead, D.
Blessed by the best, my journey to Canton and beyond.
Oh, all right. So I wonder if there's going to be any off-the-field stuff that he gets into. It sounds like there might be
a
good amount of that. It's D and Joe right here on The Fanatic.
Back BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.